Welcome to the Occult London Podcast. This is a new podcast dedicated to exploring magic, mysticism, the Kabbalah, as well as other topics. In this new series, we have been exploring the symbolism and mysteries of the tarot trumps in relation to the Western mystery tradition. Each week, we will be looking at a different tarot card. These are meant to be short introductions, so will not be an exhaustive examination of them, but rather a taster to get you started and thinking. If you like the podcast, please make sure to visit our website at www.occultlondon.co.uk, where you can subscribe to the show. And you can also find us on Facebook at Occult London Podcast, or also Occult London Podcast on YouTube. Hope you enjoy it. So in this episode, we are going to be talking about the tarot card of the moon, which is the 29th path on the Tree of Life and the path of Kwopf. As usual, we will start the episode by talking about the key correspondences, and our source for that is John Michael Greer's excellent book, Paths of Wisdom, which I would highly recommend to people. So let's get started. So the Hebrew letter of the path obviously is Kwopf, which means back of head. The name of God is Al or El. The astrological correspondence is Pisces or the fish. The tarot correspondence obviously is the moon. The esoteric title is the ruler of flux and reflux, child of the sons of the mighty. The Yetzeratic path text is as follows. The 29th path is the corporeal intelligence, so called because it forms every body, which is formed beneath all the worlds and the increment of them. The mythological principle is emergence from water. The experiences of the path are journeying over or through water, darkness or dim light, intense odours and textures, visions of the pre-human past. Entities of the path include sea and water creatures, prehistoric animals, animal oversouls. The magical image is an arch of reddish purple or magenta, bearing the letter Kwopf in white upon its keystone. The door within the arch bears the image of the trump. The colours in Atzeluth is magenta, in Bria is buffed, flecked with silver white, in Yetzirah is pale blue, pale translucent, pinkish brown, and Desire is brownish grey stone. So those are the key correspondences. As I said, it's worth checking them out in that book. And, you know, this is an introductory summary, really. But if it's definitely worth kind of exploring these yourselves as well, if you have the inclination. So we'll now move on to the Kabbalistic symbolism of the path and some of the kind of key ideas which I wanted to share. So obviously this path, in terms of its positioning on the Tree of Life, connects the sphere of Earth, Malkut, and Netzach, Victory. So it's connecting the sphere of Earth, which is our Earth, and the sphere of Venus, which is kind of energy and force. So the planetary aspect that rules this path is the moon, and this kind of gives us a really good idea of the inner aspect of the path, in that it is all about the unconscious tides and how they operate within our bodies, the world, but also, you know, emotions and the personality. The moon, it must be remembered, is, you know, it controls the sort of tides of the earth, the tides within the body, the emotions, for instance, you know, crime rates actually spike when it's a full moon. And you know, so this path can be very much seen, this path of intuition and flux and reflux, like the tides of the sea. And Crowley describes this card quite well when he says the following: as it is the gateway of resurrection, the threshold of life or spiritual rebirth. It may be considered at two levels. First, In the course of incarnation, it is the stage of the soul's organisation of the physical body, which it will inhabit. It is a sleep, as attributed to Kopf by the Sefer Yetzirah, preceding the waking mortal consciousness, a form of pre-consciousness, differentiating into matter from the collective unconscious of Netzach. Second, in terms of the spiritually developing individual, it is a conquest of the phantoms reflected from the material world, what the Golden Dawn described as the child of the sons of the mighty, meaning the creations of the created. Robert Wang, in his excellent book as well, and there's a nice quote from him which I think is relevant as well, when he says, "This is a watery path of probation, where the student must face and conquer the phantoms of the darkest recesses of his own mind, as well as those of the race. In that sense, it can be a terrible and frightening path, involving real dangers to the emotional stability of those who are not strong enough to handle this experience. Such inner disturbance may actually result in severe physical problems. On the other hand, tradition states that the successful treading of this path confers the powers of bewitchments and casting illusions. When we slay the dragons of the deep recesses of our sleep consciousness and understand their mechanisms, we gain the capacity to manipulate those qualities in ourselves as well as in others." And that's from Robert Wang. So as we can see from those two quotes, the symbolism of the card is very relevant in relation to the idea of the card representing the unconsciousness. So if we look at most of the packs, we've got images of the duality of animals. There's a dog, there's a wolf, representing wildness and domestication. And then we also have on the Rider-Waite deck, we have the image of a crustacean. There's a crab or a lobster, I think, if I can remember rightly. And this is kind of showing where we came from sort of a million years ago. And the moon overhead is kind of being this prime mover in our evolution. And this is really described beautifully in Dionne Fortune's book, Moon Magic, when she says, "They hailed the sea as the oldest of created things, older even than the hills, and the mother of all living. But they bade the sea remember that the moon is the giver of magnetic life, and that it was from the moonlight on the sea that living forms arose. For the sea is formless, but the magnetic moon is the giver of form to the life of the waters." And that beautiful passage is from Dionne Fortune's Moon Magic, which is a novel. But if you read it, it actually contains an awful lot of, you know, very deep symbolism and wisdom disguised in the form of a novel. So it's definitely worth checking that out. So moving on to the Hebrew letter of the path. And if we consider this, we can look at the letter Chopf means back of head and represents the unconscious mind. So obviously, if we look at the symbol of Resh as being the head and center of consciousness, then Chopf is like the dark unconscious mind beyond our logical minds, kind of like the dark side of the moon, the seat of our fantasies, dreams and nightmares. And this is the part, this is something that's kind of, you know, the part of the brain that is very much back in our evolution, I would say. So it's very much kind of this biological, where we've come from, the dark unconscious mind, where things that we're kind of quite afraid of really dwell, where our nightmares are, and where obviously we do not want too much to come out at once, because it could potentially kind of tip you over the edge. And that's something that's definitely worth kind of thinking about in a bit more detail. Moving on to the kind of mythological aspects of the path. So obviously we've got, you know, there's lots of different symbols we could use for this. So there is obviously images of gods and goddesses that would be connected with the moon. So you've obviously got kind of Anubis, there's Kephra, Anubis being particularly strong with regards to being opener of the ways from light to dark and back again. Plutarch writes a nice passage in relation to Anubis when he says the following: "By Anubis they understand the horizontal circle which divides the invisible part of the world, which they call Nephthys, from the invisible, to which they give the name Isis. And as this circle equally touches upon the confines of both light and darkness, it may be looked upon as common to them both. And from this circumstance arose that resemblance which they imagine between Anubis and the dog, it being observed of this animal that he is equally watchful by night and as day. In short, the Egyptian Anubis seems to be of much the same power and nature as the Greek Hecate, a deity common to both the celestial and infernal regions." So there you have this idea of Anubis being the psychopomp that goes between day and night. And you could also use that as a key, essentially, to go from our, say, our waking consciousness to go and explore our darker lunar aspects of our moon consciousness, the dark side of the moon, which is also an excellent album by Pink Floyd. So yeah, that's all I have time for today. I hope everybody's enjoyed this podcast. Thanks very much for listening. Please make sure to visit our website at www.occultlondon.co.uk, where you can subscribe to the show, and I hope to speak to you soon. Thanks, everybody.